Daryl Tolliver, your pastor, has become one of my favorite people in the whole world. You know, he's not real good looking, but he's a wonderful fella. And I have the utmost confidence in him. And I know that he is the wonderful fruit of Elder, Brother and Sister Tolliver, just some of America's greatest people in the world. And I had the privilege of being with Brother David at the Creek County Jail back in December. And he's just remarkable what he's doing. And then today I got to enjoy again over there at the HMA service in the fellowship hall. My, thank God, thank God, thank God. My, the wonderful things that were said and done today and all the songs. And then to see those people crying. My. That's it right there. You know, whenever you see sinners and crying, that tells you they're broken. Amen. And I'll tell you, I got to see a whole lot of sinners crying whenever the Bethany Church folk, Pastor and Sister Tolliver, and Brother and Sister Armbrister, and my wonderful friend, and he calls himself Brother Handsome, Brother Luke, who is just absolutely one of my best friends in the world, Brother Luke, and then Brother and Sister Cassidy all came to Hawaii. And my, what a wonderful thing it was to see those Polynesian people crying the way that God used the Bethany people over there. And I want to sincerely invite each and every one of you that is able to come and be a part of that. And let's turn over to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. And you Bible readers know this before I say it, but I'll say it for those of you that have not read a lot of the scriptures, that are still learning so much about the Bible, and hopefully we all are still learning so much about the Bible. But Romans chapter number 8, my pastor David Miller, I said a while back that this was my favorite chapter, and he kind of got on me. That stuff about that Dakota was reading, you know, about reproof and rebuke and instruction and correction and all of that. He kind of done it all at one time on me, you know, and said, you don't need to have a favorite. They're all from God. They're all the inspiration. Don't put one. Well, so I know he's right, so I'm not going to say that. But if I did have a favorite, this would be it. But I don't. I don't. But if I did. My, it's so good to see you, Brother Burgess. I'm so proud of you and your family being here. When we're in California, we have often different times stayed in Brother Burgess's house when he's been gone. And I appreciate him being so nice. And do what, brother? I'm telling you, it's just been wonderful to stay there at his place. And he wasn't there to, you know, his mom and dad gave us the key and we gladly took it. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. Let's all stand to reverence the reading of the word of God, if you're able. The book of Romans, chapter number 8. Let's start at reading at verse number 24. My, what a chapter. Romans 8 and 24. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what if he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your word. I thank you and praise you for the hope, Lord. Oh, God, I plead the blood tonight for this altar call. I thank you, Lord, for this church, for their giving, for their friendship, for their love, and for Pastor giving. the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And the church said amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank God. Thank God. Well, I'm so glad tonight to have hope. My hope. I have seen, not in person, thank God, but I have seen pictures and so forth. Mama, my hope is not in him, for I have seen him. I will be leaving tomorrow. Well, I might wait until Tuesday morning, actually, after Brother Cox and all our family services tomorrow. The layout and so forth. I'll be leaving to go to Oklahoma City to the funeral home, to the airport after the funeral home here in Tulsa or wherever, to the airport in Oklahoma City to pick up Missy and Chelsea. And I know that is where the Oklahoma government is at. That's not where my hope is. I'm going to preach just for a second right here. Pastor, there are good people that they're placing all of their hope in the government to provide and supply and take care of them. My friend, we are living in the last days. Come on. Our great nation is not the great nation that our grandparents grew up in. Come on now. And this is no time to be placing your hope in the government. Come on here now. Oh, thank God for all the doctors. Thank God for all the counselors and all the attorneys and all the people that try to help us. But that's not where my hope is. Come on now. Oh, for if my hope is in Christ. Anybody else's hope is in Christ? Amen. And if my hope in Christ was in this world only, I would be of all men most miserable. Amen. Oh, but my hope in Christ is that he is going to take me to a land far beyond the clouds, far beyond this atmosphere, far beyond the way of this world. Oh, thank God we've got hope for a better land. Amen. Thank God, where there'll be no more trouble, there'll be no more sickness. Thank God for that hope. Amen. Woo! Understand all of this hope that me and you have. I'm so glad that we have found that hope. There are so many wonderful people in this world. And I'm not just talking about Tonga. I'm not just talking about the Hawaiian native Polynesian people on the Hawaiian Islands. But oh, Brother Earl Wayne, I saw some of those people today. Amen. Right here in America. All over, all around us, there are so many people that do not have hope because they don't have Jesus. You know, I would love to be able to say, now wait a minute, sir. You've got hope. Don't be so down on yourself. You could. But if they don't have Christ, they really don't have hope. Come on now. Oh, but I've got something better than that I want to say, Brother Dave. Oh, even if it's looking through the bars, I want to tell them, I know you don't have no hope. Oh, but let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about Jesus. He is our hope. Glory! And so the Lord spoke to my heart to make a trip to Hawaii. I had never thought about, dreamed about, wanted to go. I understand that is a goal of some folks, you know, is to go to the most beautiful place in the world. And I understand that. And it is, you know, just unbelievably. I had just never really even thought about it. Oh, but when the Lord said, go. But I did not know anybody. I did not know of. I had a friend that went on vacation there that found a church. When he passed by, he saw the sign. That was it. He didn't remember the name of the church. He didn't remember the name of the pastor. He didn't remember the road the church was on. He just said, I saw a sign that said Holiness Church. And the Lord said, I want you to take your testimony to that church. Oh, my goodness. Lord, have mercy. So I got on the island in my little rental car, and I called my friend, Brother Brent Margeson, and I said, Brother Brent, now, okay, try to get me to where that church was. And now, you all that have been there understand, and the rest of you surely understand, that we're on an island. And he said, you know, I can't remember the name of the road, but I remember this. If from the church, if you're looking straight ahead out in front of you, you can see the ocean. Okay. I want to tell you, I didn't have to ask anybody. I didn't make one wrong turn or turn around. I drove directly in the name of Jesus to that church. My. It was just amazing how everything happened. And so we found out the starting time. This was Saturday evening for church the next day. So we was there Sunday morning for service. And we came in. And it was a church building that at that time, the building, which now they don't even have a building. But then they had a building, and it was not very pretty at all. It was not very modern at all. It had all types of remnants on the floors and all type of seats. And whenever me and my wife and three white children walked in, we realized that we were the only white folks there. Later, I found another white gentleman, but at that point, we didn't see any of them. And there was probably well over 100, maybe 200 folks there, all Polynesian, Hawaiian native people. So we came in and we sat down, and the pastor, Brother Welch, came back with a little piece of paper and a pencil, and he said, excuse me, in his broken English. Most of them do speak English, but it's quite broken English, and some of them it's harder to understand. But you know, I can understand most of what they say. They understand everything I say, and a part I don't understand, I just agree with. Right, exactly. I was just thinking that too. And so he asked my name, and he wrote it down on a piece of paper. And then he went back up front, and he started service. And oh my, the singing. How beautiful it is. My, the singing. And at that time, Brother Jeff, they had a big set of what they call Congo drums, drums on little bitty legs. And there was about, oh, I don't know, 8 or 10 of them all the way around, right where the Bible desk here would sit, all the way around. And there was a man that weighed 700 and something pounds. He's passed away since then. He played those Congo drums. And you're thinking, a man that weighs 700 pounds, he can't move. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, that guy moved. He was all over those things. And he was just playing those Congo drums. And they just sang. And oh, let me tell you, it was just so spiritual. It was just so wonderful. And hey, I'm not saying that everything is just as it ought to be. But they are a bunch of hungry people. That has been, Jimmy Swaggart has preached 3 revivals right behind that Bible desk. And I know I shouldn't name names. And different TBN television preachers come in and preach meetings for them back then. Oh, and they have been filled with a bunch of lies. That these people that want to live so conservative, they call it, that want to live so conservative, understand they are living under the law and they are bound. They're not happy. They're not joyful. Oh, my friend, I'm so glad that these people are finding out me and you aren't living under the law. Come on now. Hey, they've been lied to. We are very happy. We've got joy unspeakable and is full of glory. Somebody raise your hand and say, thank God for the old path. Wherein is the good way? Hallelujah for this good way. Woo! Well, Pastor Welch, he took out his little piece of paper. And he said, the Cornett family is here in his broken English. He said, you know that we have had other And he called us Hallies. That means white folks from the mainland. He said, we've had other Hallies come to our church before. And he said, I've never done anything like this because we don't know why they're here and we can't trust folks that come into our church. He said, but when this family walked in, the Lord spoke to me and told me, brother, to tell you to come and give us your testimony. And then he said, brother, I want to say, come and sing and preach. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I begin to tell them how in that terrible car accident, when that fella on a cell phone hit me head on, that when the medics got there, I was pronounced DOA, dead on arrival. Oh, they had to take me to the hospital because the coroner couldn't come to the scene. And there in the hospital, Dr. Martin had already signed my death certificate, had already called Missy to come and identify the body because all of my official identification was destroyed in the accident. They had already covered me up with a white sheet and my gurney was already pushed over against the wall. Oh, but Dr. Martin told me himself, he said, I ain't never done nothing like that. But as I was leaving, he said it was like something spoke to me to go over there and check on that preacher again. Yeah. He said, I said to myself, I ain't got time for that. I'm a busy man. I ain't got time for that. It's over for him. He said, but you know, something pulled me over there to you. He said, I don't know what it was. I said, doctor, I know what it was. I know what it was. He said, when I took you by the hand, I felt a mighty strong pulse. Oh, I'm so thankful that my hope is not in the doctors, because the doctors, they have limitations. Come on here now. I began to explain to that church. I began to explain to them, hey, I'm so thankful that my hope is not in a bottle, because those bottles can only take you so far. Come on now. Oh, I'm so thankful for every one of those therapists that did their best to teach me to walk and teach me to stand and teach me to raise my hand and teach me to everything from brush my teeth to put my shoes on. I'm thankful for every one of them, but don't you know they can only teach you so much. Oh, I'll tell you why my paralyzed arm is in the air, church. I'll tell you why I'm standing on my paralyzed leg. Hey, I was blind, but now I see. Hey, I'll tell you how, my friend, because Jesus is my hope. He is my healer. It's still all about Jesus. Come on now. You don't see no 1-800 number coming across my belly right now saying, call this number and send $50 as a seed of faith and we'll pray for you. That ain't what it's about. Come on now. It ain't about Doug Cornett. It ain't about Luke Armbrister. It's all about Jesus. Amen. It's all about Jesus. Oh, does somebody believe in Jesus? Does somebody believe in Jesus? He is my healer. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Woo! Hallelujah. I quickly went through so many different injuries and all different healings. Great things that the Lord did for me. And oh, my friend, I was amazed, because you know, every time that I go into detail, as I have here, different times I know concerning the pains and the injuries and the things that I was told and my family was told. Like, you know, we was told that I would never speak again in complete sentences because of massive brain damage. But that is one. Come on now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, when I talk that way, I feel the pity. And I should. Amen. That's just a natural reaction for folks to say, boy, he really went through a lot. He had some bad days. He suffered. I understand. Thank God, folks. Feel sorry for me. I appreciate that. Yeah. But I've never seen folks that reacted as they reacted. All right. They begin to just cry and weep all over the church. I've never seen a crowd, whenever I told what I went through, that folks that just cried and wept like that. Well, sitting over here was a wheelchair, a gentleman in it that at that time I assumed he was born that way because all four of his limbs were curled in and shaking. His mouth was open and he was drooling out it. You could look at him and see that he had no sense of reality. You could look at him and see he didn't know who he was or where he was or anything. And all of a sudden, I felt the Holy Ghost check me. I came to tell him my testimony. Now I told him what the devil did, but I want to stress what Jesus did. Come on, come on. I said, church, but enough about what I went through. I want to tell you that now Cincinnati Eye Institute has taken an MRI of my head, and that optical nerve where they go back from your head and they join together and come back to the right part of your brain, mine was severed. Oh, but now they say with the new MRIs that it looks like it's never been damaged, and they've never seen one grow back before. Oh, my friend, there's no surgery, there's no therapy. Oh, and so they had Missy sign the papers to give them the permission to send the pictures of the two MRIs, the one where it severed and the one where it grew back together. Oh, so they could send it to the universities across America so that the medical students could study it and try to understand what happened. Oh, I'll tell you what happened. It's all about Jesus. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I said it's all about Jesus. He is our hope. Woo! Glory. When I began to tell them how that my left side was paralyzed. Oh, and you know, I don't run as fast as I used to, but either does Brother Jeff. Some of us aren't as young as we used to be. Come on now. Oh, that's all right. I know I walk with a limp, but that's all right because I'm walking. Come on now. Oh, I know I'm not as strong with my left hand as I am my right hand, but I like to tell my brother and my friends, I got more strength in this right hand than you got in your whole body, so what's it hurting? Come on now. Hey, I'm so glad that Jesus has healed me. Oh, because it's with his stripes that we are healed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, they said that my bottom jaw, that I know you've heard me tell the story, it was crushed all the way around. And I got to tell them how that ENT, when he put up those pictures of my jaw from the x-rays, and he pointed at that one and he said, this is the day of your accident. You can see that bottom jaw is crushed. It's broken over 100 times. And this is the picture from last week. You can see that every break is still there. Oh, and then he said, let me teach you a little bit about medical science. Come on here now. He said, whenever you break a bone, no matter how old you are, for the rest of your life, that bone will be scarred for the rest of your life. He said, oh, pointing at the x-ray that he just took. And I was still blind, so I couldn't see it. But my wife and mama was sitting there. And he said, this other jaw, the picture that I took today, it has never been broken. Woo! Come on here now. He said, in my professional opinion, somebody has given you a brand new jaw. I'm preaching to you. It's all about Jesus. And with his stripes, we, that's me and you. Come on here now. That's me and you. We are healed. By his stripes, we were healed. We've already been healed, folks. Glory. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. As I begin to tell them the testimony, as I begin to tell them the healing, it was a beautiful thing. Understand, none of them had at that time ever been to a holiness church here in the mainland. None of them had ever seen the Spirit of the Lord bless me and you. So they didn't react quite like us. Some of them just stood there trembling all over.
Some of them just spoke in tongues and bent over and got down and on their knees and just crunched down. Some of them just laid back on the floor all the way that they were worshiping and letting the Lord bless them. Come on here now. And all of a sudden the pastor, he came running off the platform and down there to that wheelchair, that gentleman I told you about, that he was crippled and he didn't have any reality of what was going on, pushed him forward. And when he did, oh, the crowd just came out of the pews and rushed up there around that wheelchair to pray for him. Thank God. Thank, we are believers. Come out here now. Oh, my friend. I don't know how long they prayed, but I know it was a long time. And as soon as that they started to gather around and pray for him, I started looking for the oil. Because the Bible says, anointing them with oil. I was looking for the oil. Somebody else found it, and one of the deacons found it, and one over there, and I was right behind him. I'm going too, and the crowd was so big. Excuse me, I want to get in there and pray for that fellow.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost checked me. I didn't send you here to lay hands upon him.
All right.
I sent you here to give them your testimony.
All right.
Now my years and love and experience for those good people, I understand that they had came out of a very paganistic society. I understand that there is a problem, a fault in that culture. The reason that TBN can do so good over there is because they have a tendency to follow things and people so quickly. Amen? God did not send me over there to get a following. Come on here now. Come on here now. And whenever you hear or see a preacher that is developing a following, that ain't God. It's still about Jesus. I said it's still about Jesus. Somebody raise your hand and say that with me. It's still about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Woo! And so I was rather disappointed that I wasn't over there. But they were crying and praying and shouting and just for a very long time for him. Finally, whenever it all broke up, they pushed the wheelchair back. And, well, I didn't see any change. And so I got to meet his wife, Sister Sweetie, who has also passed away since then. And his two children who since then have gotten saved and set apart and living for the Lord. And I got to meet them, and they explained how that they had just lost all hope. But after we had prayed and the service was over, Pastor Welch came to the front, and he took out his little piece of paper again with my name, and he said, "Brother Cornett," he said, "this gentleman that we just prayed for is Pastor Turner. He is my associate pastor." And he said he said 3 months. I can't remember. Anyway, it had been over 6 months at that time that he had been completely ran over by an automobile. And on his scooter, he had had a wreck, had been completely ran over by an automobile. And he said, "Pastor Turner has most all of, and even a few more injuries that you named, he's suffering with right now." He said, "Brother Cornett, it is not a coincidence that you're here today. It is not an accident that you're here today." He said, "Today is the first service that his family has been able to bring him to church. It's today. This is the first time that he has been amongst the Christian people since the accident." Oh, my friend. And so, of course, I was praying nonstop for weeks for Brother Turner. And oh, I was so thankful. Maybe that's why God sent us over there, was for him. I don't know. But I know that the Lord sent us. And I'm so glad we went. Well, 3 weeks had passed. I don't remember where I was at. I remember that I was in my fifth wheel that we had at that time, and my cell phone rang. And let me quickly explain to you that if you have a problem at 3 o'clock in the morning, his name is Daryl Tolliver. He's your pastor. He loves you. He wants you to call him. I'm Brother Doug. I'm not your pastor, and don't be calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I said it. I feel better. My cell phone rang. And in the dark, I was trying to remember how to turn it on and answer it and everything. And I was thinking, you know, this better be an emergency. Hello? And I heard him in his broken English say, Brother Doug, this is Pastor Welch from Haula, Hawaii. Man, when he said that, I was wide awake and standing up. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is Brother Doug. Yes, sir. He said, do you remember that we prayed for my associate pastor, Brother Turner, whenever you was here? I said, oh, yes. I remember, brother. I've been praying for him every day since then. I said, is he showing any improvement? And he said, Brother Doug, see, understand, 3 o'clock in the morning Eastern time is 9 o'clock, or 3 o'clock is 9 o'clock in the evening there. So it was 9 o'clock in the evening Saturday night. That's 3 o'clock Sunday morning in my world. And he said, Brother Doug, in the morning, Brother Turner's going to be taking the pulpit again. He said, please pray for me, Brother Turner. He's just beside himself. He's wanting to, he said, he's just wanting everybody that he sees. Every time you talk to him, it's all he wants to talk about is how the Lord healed him and everything. He said, I don't know how long he'll be up. He's liable to be up all day. He's so excited. But tomorrow, I said, you mean he's healed? He said, brother, he's doing better than he was before. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that my Jesus is my healer. Come on now. Understand that whenever his family had given up hope because they could not see. Now listen to me preach here just a moment. They could not see that God was moving. Brother, we don't always see God moving. I don't know about you, but I have prayed so many times that in hindsight, I wonder why the Lord didn't throw me down right there. Lord, please, have you forgot about me? It's me again, Lord. And I just couldn't see that God was doing anything. They had given up hope. And thousands of miles away, some 6,000 miles away, I was trying to understand. But Lord, you want me to go to where I don't even know anybody? I know me and you's going to call it a mission trip, but you know, my friends at Bethany, I'm going to Hawaii on a mission trip. Come on, Lord. Oh, but let me tell you, I'm so thankful that even whenever they had given up hope, they thought God had forgotten. That God had just laid them to the side. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Satan is a liar. He hasn't forgot about you. From the first time you prayed, your prayer was heard. Oh, come on here now. Oh, there's going to be some long nights. There's going to be some discouraging days. But if we can pray that prayer one more time, because this just might be that 21st day. This might just be the day that the Lord is going to move. Oh, loyoko shanta kosanta. Oh, and so whenever hope was not seen, the Turner family found out that hope that is seen is not hope.
That's not hope.
If you see it, it's not hope.
True hope. You can't see it. You can't see it. You can't see it. My friend, Brother Luke, seen a vision the other day, and I wish so bad that the Lord would let me see a vision that I could get a glimpse of the glory of God as Moses did, as Luke has, as so many good men have. And you know, I got to see one vision. And the second one, I'm not really for sure. I guess it was a vision, but I know it changed me and I loved it. I don't know why, though, but you know what? I do know, even though I can't see the Lord, I've got to believe. I've got to believe because that's where my hope is. That's where my hope is. Listen, folks, we have all gathered in this church. We can see these beautiful chandeliers and beautiful walls. My brother Tolliver, you've done such a wonderful job. My, what a wonderful, beautiful place, Pastor. We can see that. Our hope is not this building. Come on now. Come on now. You don't have hope just because you're sitting in this building. Your hope is unseen. His name is Jesus. Right now, everybody in the building, would you just feel after him and find that he be not far from you? Oh, everybody in the building, just feel after him right now. Find everybody in the building. Could you whisper his name? Oh, could you just say his name? Could you find that he's not far from us right now? Jesus, everybody, everybody, come on, come on, come on. Oh, feel after him and find he be not far from you. Jesus is in this house. Jesus is in our midst. Oh, hallelujah.
Come on, brother. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God.
It is what you're feeling right now is hope. That's hope. And the Lord has just spoken to my heart that there are unbelievers in this house right now. And it is such a wonderful privilege for you to be amongst us because we've got hope and we've got enough for you too.
That's right. It's here for you.
Come on, come on, come on. If you leave this building tonight without hope, it'll be by your own choice. Because choice of hope is right here. Oh, hope is right here. And he is waiting around this altar. And he says, come on. Just come unto me. Come on. Come unto me. Come unto me. Oh, there is hope. Listen to me, children. Listen to me, children. If you're old enough to hear me and know what I'm talking about, you're old enough to be saved. Hell is real. Hell is real. But you've got hope if you will accept it. It's right here for you. It's right here for you. Everybody in the building, let's stand. Everybody in the building, let's stand. I don't want to waste no time. Because the Spirit is here so strong. Jesus wants you to have hope. Maybe you're a child. I feel like there's children here. It's time for you to receive the Lord as your own personal hope. As your own personal hope. Maybe everybody around you thinks that you're all right.
Yeah, come on.
But you know, that you need the Lord. Come on here now. You need to be forgiven. Hope is waiting for you around this altar.
That's right.
And right now, I'm opening the altar and I'm asking you to step out of your pew. Mom, dad, come with them. Oh, husband, wife, come with them. Come with them, neighbors, and bring them on. If you need that hope tonight, come right on.
Oh, we want you to come to this altar and kneel down, because we want you to leave here happier and more joyful with the peace of God, the love that's unmeasurable like you've never had before. Come on, come on, come on. This is your night. This is your night. Come right on. Come right on. Come right on. I want to invite everybody in this church. Come around and let's pray. Let's grab a hold of our hope with both hands. If you don't have that hope, come and join us. Come and join us. Oh, everybody in the building that's able, let's come around these altars. Let's find ourselves a place to pray. Hey, there's plenty of room for you up front. Come right on. Come right on. Oh, thank God. Thank God. There's hope, sir. There's hope. There's hope. You don't have to leave without it. Oh, come right on. Oh, come right on. Come right on. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. For we are saved by hope. Oh, my friend. But hope that is seen is not hope. Come on, come on, come on now. There is an unseen hope for you tonight. You can leave here full of hope. You can leave here full of hope. Woo!
Thank you.